today on Real Radio.
I don't even speak to them anymore about God. I just pray for them. They've already heard it. They know it. They just want to fight about it. I'm not going to fight about it with them. They know exactly where I stand. I can walk into a room with certain people in my family and they get upset that I'm there. I haven't even said anything yet. Yet.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Steppin' from Death to Life, continues now in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 15. In this chapter, we find that we cannot be saved from our sins simply by being good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and only Him. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul passionately speaks from his heart. His fervor comes from a desire for us to put to death the legalism in our lives. Our flesh is spiritually dead, no matter how much we try to make a good showing. And without the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we'll continue to live boasting in our own good works. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There is no other entrance except through Him. And there is no segregation in Christ. No matter who we are or where we come from, our salvation comes from Him. And now continuing his lesson called Steppin' from Death to Life, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
They would put that tree roughly about 5.5 to 6 feet high underneath the woman or that man that was standing on the back end of those two horses. And then whoever was there presiding over this would slap the rear end of the horses. The horses would take off and that person would fall rectum first, gyrate on the spike until the spike pierced their hearts and they died within a minute, minute and a half. Antiochus Epiphanes boasted that he could conquer any place, any nation without raising a sword, because that's what he told the community that he was going to do to all those who resisted. He was famous for it. Then Rome takes power, and Rome comes and they look and they know all about Antiochus Epiphanes and the practice of the Assyrians and all, and that ancient practice carried on through time. And the Roman Empire says, we're going to abolish that altogether. It's too merciful. Because the person, though he's put into horrible shame and shock, dies in a minute and a half. It's too quick. What can we do? What can be thought of that is the most painful, enduring, and time-consuming death? And they invented crucifixion. So really, I have a hard time believing that, Pastor. Well, it's because you don't know anything about it then. Those of you who've been to Israel, you know, first of all, that crosses in Israel, and they've unearthed them. They're very small. In our books, don't we see in the magazines or in the coloring books, the cross, three of them way high, high up on a hill? That's not how they were. Wood was precious in that community. The crosses were very, very low to the ground, very stout. They would crucify somebody, and they're just above eye level with those that were not crucified. That explains, by the way, the conversations that took place with Jesus on the cross with those standing around. The cross during the time of Christ was a killing machine. And physicians still today, when they study the biblical and historical accounts of crucifixion, will admit it's the worst type of death you can experience. It goes on for days. A shame. It's a terror and it's a shame. The Bible says that we look unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what endured the shame. Why? Because all those associated with that criminal, it was declared that a person crucified in the Roman Empire was an enemy of the state and they die. And in some areas, their family were carted off to jail. Even today in many Muslim countries, if a Muslim girl disgraces the family through extramarital sex or premarital sex, the father commissions the brothers, or if there are no brothers, uncles, somehow other males will take that female and kill her by beheading or by stoning. To this day, it goes on in Iraq, in Iran, and Pakistan. The cross was a shame. The price of the cross was everything. Nobody walked away from their crucifixion. You died a most horrible death. Verse 14 teaches us also that regarding the life of the believer, we need to realize that this world is dying and in many ways is dead. Paul says, by whom the world has been crucified to me. What does that mean? It means this. The world doesn't matter to me anymore, Paul says. It doesn't matter. You know, I pray, I trust that some of us, I hope, are growing more in the Lord. And have you noticed that if we grow more in the Lord, have you noticed that the world is losing its sparkle and its sheen? I mean, don't get me wrong. We're all tempted by the world. Isn't that funny? We know it's death and dead, but we're still kind of mesmerized by it. I mean, I got to confess, if I'm driving up to Salt Lake City or even flying to Salt Lake City at night, you got to admit, Vegas just is amazing, isn't it? Wow, look at all that light. No wonder why Hoover Dam's got to be next door to keep that baby lit up. And then I always ask myself this question. Wow, who pays the light bill? You know who pays the light bill? All the losers. Come on, man, let's get in the car and go to Vegas. Why? We need to pay that light bill. It's all the losers who pay the light bill in Vegas. You're not supposed to know that, though. That's like hotel and power and energy information. It's the losers that pay the power. But you know what's funny? In the midst of all that light, you know, Vance Havner says, we have more light than ever before and less illumination. Woo, look at all that light. But we don't know much, huh? But it's funny, in all of that light, you can spot one little light bulb burned out in that whole pattern. And that's what, hey, look, there's a light bulb burned out. Funny thing. You can be sitting around and saying and speaking and acting like, oh, you're in the light. You're legalistic, but you're in the light. You know what? Anybody who knows the Lord knows your light bulb's burned out. You got to pump up enthusiasm. You got to pump up your joy. You got to pump up your relationship with God. It's dead. It's not real. Why? Listen, legalism is dead like the world is dead. And Paul says, you know what? The world doesn't matter to me anymore. I don't care who's in the limousine, Paul says. Well, not only that, we have a new reality. He says, by whom the world has been crucified to me. I don't care about the world anymore, but watch this, it gets better. And I to the world, meaning I don't matter to the world either. The world wrote me off. Oh, some of you really need to hear this. The world has written us off. You're crazy. You're a Christian. You're reading your Bible now. What's wrong with, what happened to your son? How come he's not? Oh, he's reading his Bible. Oh, what's the matter with him? You know, and listen, I know this is true. I know many of you, you're getting hammered by your family because now you're reading the Bible and you're going to a church that teaches the Bible. You still go to your old church, but then after that, you go to the church that teaches the Bible and you're getting hammered. And they're accusing you of things. They're attacking you. If you just give up the Bible and stop studying the Bible and go back to the old dead church, they'll be happy. Have you noticed that? You've got sons and daughters, moms and dads, aunts and uncles, friends, neighbors saying you're a weirdo because you went and bought a Bible. Just go to church and pull one out of the pew in front of you and then put it back and then go home. What's wrong with you? What are you buying a Bible for? The world has written you off. Family's written you off. You know what that's like? It's painful. But you'll get over it. Or I should say, through Christ, you'll get through it. I have found in my own life that family or friends who have written me off, I've learned now to pray for them. God is letting me see their colors so I can pray for them. I don't even speak to them anymore about God. I just pray for them. They've already heard it. They know it. They just want to fight about it. I'm not going to fight about it with them. They know exactly where I stand. I can walk into a room with certain people in my family and they get upset that I'm there. I haven't even said anything yet. Yet. And I'll stand there and I'll have my punch or eat my banana or cut the cake or whatever. And they you can see them. They're like, oh, man. And it's like this sucking thing pulling on them. They've got to talk to me. I'm like, whatever. And they're getting closer, and then, they're going to try it again. And all of a sudden they come up, how's the church? Oh, that's fine. How's your church? I don't go. You know that. You know I don't go. That's right. I forgot. Well, anyway, what are you doing? What do you mean? I work for God. What do you think I do? That's right. I mean, they get all nervous and all. They don't know. Why? They've written us off. You mentioned Bible, Jesus, Christ, God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. They've written, let's write him off quick. He's nuts. He's crazy. He thinks that when he dies, he's going to go to heaven because what Jesus did for him on the cross. Doesn't he know that God is half blind for one thing? And we get up there, all of our good deeds that sometime we're going to get around to doing are going to outweigh what we've done or thought. It's all going to come out in the end. Besides, who would believe in a God that tells us about a heaven and a hell? How about a God who knows and doesn't want you to go there? How about a God who puts on a human suit and lives in this world truly God and truly human, who, listen, is rejected, laughed at, mocked, then arrested, beaten to a pulp, scourged, shredded, crucified, spit on, mocked, left alone, only to be risen again 3 days later from the dead. But just before he died, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's my Jesus. And what that tells me is this, and our final point, we do this and we'll wrap it up. Jesus Christ is the door to heaven. Verse 15 says, for in Christ. Can you circle the word in? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Doesn't matter if you are a Muslim, a Jew, an atheist, an agnostic, Calvary Chapel, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, you whatever. It doesn't matter. There's only one way you're going to get there. And only those who go through the door get there. And Jesus says, I am the door. Now listen, this is tense, and then we end. So just sit still. Jesus Christ is the door to heaven. He says right here that there's no segregation in Christ, because in verse 15, he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. That means it doesn't matter what camp you hold to. You're not going to go to heaven because you go to Calvary Chapel. You're not going to go to heaven because you were baptized as a baby. You're not going to go to heaven because you gave $1 million to the Methodist Church. Nothing. Does a circumcised person or an uncircumcised person trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation? He doesn't segregate. He says, for all those who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who? All those. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. Does that mean that Osama bin Laden could call out to Jesus today and repent and get saved? Yep. Yeah, but he's a Muslim. Wait a minute. There are people who are, quote, Christians in churches that need to get saved. Is your relationship with Jesus hot? Is it alive? There's no entrance outside of Jesus Christ to heaven? Who says so? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Well, and you're going to fight with that or not? That's what he said. And you know what? Honestly, you could blow off anything and everything Jesus said until he rose from the dead. Now you got a big problem. Because prior to that, you could have not believed in him. His own family didn't believe in him. And then after the resurrection, it says, then they believed. When he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. If a man dies believing in me, yet shall he live. When he says, unless you believe that I am, ego emi, in Greek, the name of God, unless you believe that I'm the eternal God, you will die in your sins. People could have went, oh, you're crazy. I like the way Josh McDowell put it. Jesus, to his hearers, are either, he's either a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he's the Lord. You got to figure that out. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I suggest you figure it out. He's the Lord. And finally this, we're done. There's life only in Christ. There's life only in Jesus. It says in verse 15, but those who believe in him, they become a new creation. That's great. A new person. It's happened to maybe all of us in this room. Do you know what it's like to be new? Well, let me drive it home this way. You can close your Bible. We're done. Let me put it to you like this. Paul said, there are those who come and they preach another gospel and a different Jesus. I want to ask you, what Jesus are you believing in today? Which one? There's all kinds of Jesuses. For example, there is the Jesus that's going to be coming out of the closet pretty soon. This is what, September? We've got a couple, maybe another month or two. There's a holiday coming. What holiday is it? Christmas. And everyone is going to pull Jesus out of the closet, and they're going to put him out on the lawn. And they're going to put Joseph and Mary. You know Mary. She's got the blue curtain draped down from her head. Joseph, he's standing there with this robe, and he's holding something. I forget what it is. It's not a hammer, but it kind of tells you he's a carpenter. Joseph looks like he doesn't know what's going on. Mary's looking down, and there's baby Jesus. He's a little plastic guy. He's naked, and it's like this. Got a little smile. And everyone's going to pull him out and put him in their yard, and they're going to put him in the storefront window of the company, of Macy's and all that stuff. And the three wise guys are there, and they got some plastic camels and some donkeys. And everybody loves Christmas. You want to know why? Well, first thing is Jesus is good for the market. He's good for the economy. Because retail companies, they need November and December to pull themselves out of the retail hole that they enter in during the year. And Christmas is good for the bottom line. It's great for employment. You can get a part-time job. Jesus is good. As long as he is in a manger made out of plastic. And you can even walk by and say to your kids, look, honey, there's baby Jesus. And they go, oh, yeah, isn't he cute? Mm-hmm. Well, come on, let's go. Keep him in the manger. As long as we can look down on him, all is well. But let that baby grow up and enter upon the shores of Galilee and say things like this to proud religious leaders. Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will not see heaven. Now he's getting a little out of hand. I can handle Jesus when he's lying in a plastic manger. I don't like the fact that he grew up. And now he's walking around raising people from the dead. That bothers me because I can't explain it. Who is he? Jesus says, I've done many miracles, but you don't believe in me still. He bothers a lot of people. Then he gets arrested, beaten, and he's crucified. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now he's crossed the line. Because this baby that we could manage and handle grew up. And he's speaking things about a cross and about eternal life, about heaven and about hell. And we don't like him. Because his very life now takes on a whole new meaning. He died for what? He didn't do anything wrong. So who did he die for? What's with the cross? And man will take that window and roll it up. And he'll drive away. Because the cross and Jesus and God and the Bible and heaven and hell are things that legalism and man want to manage. And you can't do it. Jesus said, if the Son of Man is lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. That means every human has got to deal with Jesus Christ. What have you done with him today? What are you doing with him right now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we humbly and reverently stand before you. And God, we say right now that for those of us who have been so blessed by you, that you woken us up out of our death and you gave us life. For some, just this morning. For some of us many years ago. Lord, perhaps for some right now. The scales, as it were, being pulled away. And Lord, that you would move across this body and across this church and across this community and around this nation and throughout the world in these last days. That we would not cower from persecution, that we would not make excuses for the cross, but that we would know the author of eternal life. And Lord, that in this life and in this world, we would be real people. Not hiding in the fancies of this world, not with just our eyes and nose sticking out of the window. But Lord, may you make us like you, that we might traffic and exist and be among all levels of this life. From Hollywood to the most remote places on earth. May we be real people saved by the real God who have real life. And Lord, through that strange homogenization of the spirit and of this pathetic flesh, of your will in heaven and our silly little minds, God, may you live your life through us, that as Jesus was once in this world, so are we now. Oh, Lord, use us to the glory of your holy name. All God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Steppin' from Death to Life. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you follow Christ from death into everlasting life. Steppin' from Death to Life is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today was day 3 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We hope you've enjoyed our study in Galatians, and we want to let you know, for a limited time, you can get the uncut audio version of this series on the book of Galatians for a gift of any amount by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. In this series, the Apostle Paul shares with us the gospel of grace. We can have true spiritual victory in our lives when we discover that we can't save ourselves by doing good works or by keeping the law. We are saved simply by believing in and accepting Jesus Christ. Get your copy of the Galatians series, Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? Great sermons from Pastor Jack brought to you every Friday. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the Watch tab. Join us for the Real Life TV program every Friday morning. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.